page 10. Not going to spend time on this today. That's your template when you get back to the office for, on page 10, for working out, if I'm creating a marketing kit to take around with me, whether it's offline or online, what does it need to contain? When you get back to the office, you sit with yourself and your team and just say, do we have this stuff in place? Yes or no? If not, who can help us put it in place? Is it Dave Scarlett? Is it somebody else? That's your basic marketing kit. If you ain't got that, the clients are a bit of a loss before they see you. You need those things in place.
What do you mean by relevant intellectual property? Is that your genius?
Well, that's just me trying to bamboozle you, Andy, with big words. Tell me what you think I mean by that.
I suppose your business's genius expertise, if you're inheritance tax specialists or
yeah,
planners.
But how is it presented in the kit?
As part of the kit, you're sort of saying relevant intellectual property.
How would they find out what it is? I mean, how would you present that? Why do I say relevant intellectual property?
Relevant to your niche market?
Yeah. I read a lot of material, brochures, websites, telling all about all the stuff you know. I read some of your newsletters, including some of the standard newsletters in this industry, the quarterly newsletters, by very intelligent people I have a lot of respect for. And I look at the newsletters and I think, what the heck has that got to do with your client? What's that got to do with their problems and their world? And the answer is absolutely sweet Fanny Adams. Total, in my personal view, a total and utter waste of time. It does nothing for your business and your relationship whatsoever. It doesn't help them. They can get that stuff from the BBC website or the FT website. They don't need you to send that stuff. They can get it daily. They don't need you to send it quarterly when it's out of date. If you're creating intellectual property, that is information out of your head and your professional skills, intellectual property, information that you're really good at, that you're genius at, make it relevant to their life. Andy, this is a fun one we started with, and it was just kind of the first thing Andy ever did. What did you call it?
Top 10 tax tips.
Top 10 tax tips for small business owners. They don't want to know about pensions. They're furious about tax. If you're a small business owner, turning over £5 to £10 million. Furious. So they wanted, give us 10 tax tips to get rid of this stuff out of our lives. So instead of telling them how wonderful his pensions expertise is, which bores the pants off them, he said, here are some top 10 tax tips. Where did you get that from, Andy?
Internet.
Why not? That's what research is all about, isn't it?
That's what research is all about. That's what Google is designed for. Google was designed and invented so that you could research and find information for your to help you. So do it. He just said, who else has written top 10? So it's about 50 pages of people have written top 10 tax tips. So he just, right, this from Fred and this from Harry, and they got it from each other. You know, so it was property from his intellect that said, this is what I'm brilliant at, but it's relevant, Andy, to them. Does that make sense? Yeah, part of your kit. But do have some. If you're really good at something, like you're really good at understanding GPs' lives, have it as part of your kit. Okay, brief summary then we'll move on to Peter. Somebody summarise page 11 for me. These are different types of offline marketing that will later become online marketing as well. Lynn, why don't you start me on that? Tell me about page 11. What do they all mean?
Well, there's lots of ways of communicating with your clients, and I think we're probably guilty of just really using selling and face-to-face contact.
Okay.
And that's really why I'm here today, to have a look at it. You can one thing that we want to do is produce, create our product, our service. And then the first thing that I want to do is create a really good piece, a brochure that communicates very simply what you can offer to that target market. So perhaps it's after your first meeting. Perhaps I also want to do things like where you can have something where you might be able to use it in a very targeted mailing. So that, but I think what you've also got to be aware of is a lot of these things can cost. You know, print costs aren't cheap. So you've got to almost have cheaper pieces of information. I don't mean cheap in look, but you might have a 5-page brochure that's worth giving out. But equally, you might have a 1-page flyer that you could send out in a targeted mailing to people that you might buy a listing for, this type of thing. So there's many different vehicles of marketing communication.
Okay, why don't you quickly take us through, literally in 5 minutes, through those 7 different marketing types and tell me what the green arrow has to do with those 7 different marketing types. And take us through that quickly. What each of them means, kind of translate.
Direct contact is obviously highly effective because you've got your, hopefully you've got your target audience right in front of you.
So tell me what direct contact actually means in our terms.
A meeting.
Okay. Would that be a telephone call, a mailer? Which one? What are we talking about?
To me, I would define that as either a face-to-face meeting or a telephone call.
Okay, telephone call.
Cold call?
Cold call. It could be, yeah. It could be as clear and simple and crude as a cold call. Could be a telephone call following a networking meeting. But it's where you're directly in contact with the individual. And, oh, this is called interruption marketing. You're interrupting their day. And you'll either get a very quick yes or no. So the green arrow, what's the green arrow all about on the right-hand side?
The effectiveness is reduced further down the
path. Well, careful, watch for the words there.
Immediate effectiveness.
Yeah, the immediacy. So how quickly it happens. Doesn't mean that one's worse than the other, just means that number one happens faster than number 7. It could happen faster to, say, get lost, but it will happen faster. Okay? So it could be direct mailing, Lynn, could be telephone call, could be any kind of direct contact to interrupt their day. Interruption marketing. People do not like interruption marketing and receiving that kind of thing. That's why it's always tough. That's why you get a 2% response in direct mail. People don't like their day being interrupted or their life being interrupted by you. Okay, number 2, what's number 2 all about?
That's where you'd have an organised system where it might be a referral from a friend, someone's mentioned to you that someone's just, I don't know, inherited some money or sold a house or got divorced, and then you would build that into an organised system where you would have a process to follow that up.
Excellent. Excellent, thank you. Who's got an organised referral building system? I have some work to do, Peter. I'm just not doing... You see, anything that you're not doing is essentially my responsibility. Because that's my job. So if you're not doing it, it means you need to come to me and say, Dave, you just haven't taught me this thing well enough. Who here has received the referral building system booklet, what I wrote, as Ernie Wise would say? Okay, called Referrals, the Myths, the Secrets, the System. If you haven't got that, please email me and I'll send you an email copy of the Referrals, the Myths, the Secrets, the System. Thanks, Lynn. Over to you.
Networking again, you know, whatever process you've got for that.
Okay, some examples of networking, different types of networking processes.
Breakfast meetings,
yes. Okay.
Chamber of Commerce,
yeah. Yeah.
Accountants, solicitors.
Yes, okay.
Federation of small businesses.
Online networking. Who's involved in online networking? Martin, I know you are.
Well,
Stephen started recently. Andy?
But not within our business.
Okay, yes.
Married to?
Yeah. What kind of network are you part of?
It's with the AFP and the Personal Finance Society.
Okay. And how does that work?
really just
exchanging
ideas, isn't it?
Okay, so that's a community of idea sharing.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. My recommendation to you, if you're going to network, do share ideas. I mean, this is what this is all about, community sharing ideas. But do get out there amongst your target audience and network with them. It's, you know, if you do it well, it's very effective. If you do it badly, it's just a terrible experience. You keep bashing your head on a brick wall. Okay. And networking is not about collecting masses of business cards. It's not what it's about at all. Who here has got the booklet, Networking? The myths, the systems, and the... No? Email me and I'll send you that booklet too. Networking, the myths, the secrets, the system. I didn't write this stuff. I plagiarised it with permission, in which case it's not plagiarising, from the father of all networking, the guy who started BNI from America many, many years ago. Many, many years ago. Wrote a fabulous book on the myths of networking and blew a lot of the myths right out of the water. Okay, Lynn, sorry, I interrupted your flow.
Public speaking.
Yeah, tell me about that. Give me some examples.
I guess that could be... we've done things in the past where we've sort of hired a venue, invited clients and talked to them about a relevant subject. But equally, you could offer your services to a relevant organisation, like some of your networking contacts.
Yeah.
Go and offer to do them a, you know, a bit like today, you know, something on a relevant subject.
Yes.
Which might lead to business.
Yeah, I'm just going to catch you up on that last phrase. I was hoping you weren't going to say that, but you did. So I'm going to be really mean on you now. Who here hates public speaking like this? Who just finds this really, really uncomfortable? You're allowed to say, yeah, really, you start to sweat and the armpits start to go. Who here loves it? Just love, I know Martin does. He just absolutely loves it. Just think this is the bee's knees of life. Okay. And Peter does as well. I live for this. Okay, if I did nothing else all day, I'd do this. But if you hate it, it's a real unpleasant experience. We're going to turn this on its head in a while and talk about, can I do public speaking online? How does that work?
Yeah.
Interesting. It's a lot safer, and it can be almost as effective.
They don't answer you back, do they, David?
They don't answer you back, no. until you start to build a community, then you find, dag barn it. The bit that I was hoping you weren't going to say with all of your professional expertise is that in order that you can do business. And the reason is that yes, that's not why I tend to do it, and that's not why most professionals tend to do this. This is all about either I'm educating you, or I'm entertaining you, or both, or I'm positioning my business in your hearts and your minds. Okay, I normally don't immediately expect to do business from this. And if you walk into a seminar, you know, with 50 bums on seats and hope that they're all going to sign, it's just, that will happen to a percentage. But you may be using it as the wrong kind of platform. So be very careful about public speaking while you're doing it. And don't shoot yourself in the foot by saying, oh blimey, only 3 people out of 50 signed up, therefore it must be a failure. No, maybe your objective was the wrong objective in public speaking. Okay, we're going to pick up the others later on, writing, publicity, promotion, events and advertising. I want to turn over to page 12 now, then I'm going to hand over to Peter. He's got, I think, 5 minutes and then we have tea break. Thank you. I love this place. Timing's brilliant. Peter's going to take us through until lunchtime on 12 onwards. And who here is having a real struggle with getting their target market clear? Go on. Yeah. I'm going to give you some material to take away and we're going to discuss that one-on-one, but we are going to discuss that this afternoon as well. I've begun, you know, when you teach things, who here has done teaching apart from just financial planning? Education. When you teach things, you realise you're the student. I've been teaching this niche marketing for about 3 years now, and I've just begun to work out why you're having a struggle. I'm that slow. And I'm going to show you this afternoon why you are having a struggle with this particular question, why it's such hard work to find your niche market. I'll give you a clue to the answer. How do I find my niche market is the wrong question. Well, what's the right one then? We're going to cover that this afternoon. So Peter's going to take us through getting your target audience clear. I'm going to expand on that later on. The fact that you have to have a target audience. Making sure that whatever you do, you can measure it online. What's the online marketing mix, Stephen? What budget should you set aside? How do you actually get the things started? How do you get some action going? And then what does he mean by success metrics? Peter, you've got 5 minutes to introduce Google, and then we'll go into that in detail after... after tea break.
Okie dokie. Can you hear me at the back, or do we need to swap?
Yes.
I think I will just.
Yeah. There we go.
Right, so, what have we got to do now? Okay. We'll see if this works. Good stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Right. Okay. Target market. Yeah, Dave's going to go into this later. One of the things that I've learnt about marketing online for IFAs and websites and all that sort of thing, bearing in mind I did this number of years ago, the first part of the last decade, as we say now, running a financial services company. Quick background. A friend of mine was an IFA. I was involved in online marketing in the late 90s, so really got in there at the early days. We set up a new IFA practice, fully regulated, selling insurance, but on an execution-only basis. And it was to people that were looking for an alternative supplier for insurance when they purchased their mortgage. What we got really right, and why we had wheelbarrows for the money, because that's what it was like in those days, just raking in the dough, we knew exactly who our target market was. Any ideas who our target market was?
First-time buyers.
No, it wasn't actually. Tell you why. We learnt this. We advertised in First-Time Buyer magazine, and we found out that they were very slow to make decisions. And when they did, they were in their early 20s, perhaps, and therefore their premiums were really low. We did just the same amount of work and earned a fraction of the commission. So we said, bye-bye, not going to deal with the first-time buyers. They were off. Any other ideas about our target market? All right, you're a clever one here. Yeah. Sometimes, but not so much. But let me fill you in. We knew that the perfect person, perfect prospect, was the person that has just arranged their mortgage, but they have not yet exchanged on contracts, and therefore they were between normally 10 to 6 weeks away from completion. That's the target person. That was our target market. How did we reach that person? We found the best way to reach them was through mortgage magazines like What Mortgage, Mortgage Advisor, and Home Buyer, and so forth. There's stacks of them, they were at the time. And our proposition was very problem focused. The problem being is you're just about to be ripped off by your bank for extortionate insurance when we could provide you with a free search and we'll find you the lowest quote on the market. Think of Money Supermarket. We were competitors of Money Supermarket the day, and they did really well, didn't they? But we knew what the problem was, and the proposition was to solve that problem, and we knew the target market. So coming back to you and establishing your target market is, let's put it another way, when you buy a new house, everything's working, hopefully, you know. And the last thing you're thinking about doing is going to B&Q and buying some washers for the dripping tap, because you don't have a dripping tap for at least 5 years. It's just not on the horizon. People only buy services and products to solve problems. The problem can be a very simple, straightforward problem, like I've got a dripping tap. Or the problem could be a nagging spouse that wants to go somewhere, and so you have to think about which restaurant am I going to choose. The problem can be feeling a little bit of stress because I know that I've got a lot of money here and I don't want the tax man to take it all when I die. And so they're thinking about what's going to happen with their inheritance. So there's the problem there is solving that bit of peace of mind. Why do people go to Google?
To find information, to find answers.
Solutions. Generally, people have a question. You know, I'm looking for something. The average is 10 times per day to go to Google, the average user. And if you sort of add it up, you'll find out that you're probably not that far off at 10 times a day for going to Google. However, how many people think to themselves, gosh, I really do need to sort out my personal finances? How many of your customers do that?
Close to zero.
What are the triggers? How do people find you? What is the trigger, and how do they find you? Tell me an answer to that. What are some of the triggers for needing your kind of help? Marriage, perhaps? Divorce?
Retirement. Selling business.
Yeah. We start to, if you could list probably 30 or 40 triggers, and I'd suggest that you do that, because this will help you to define your target market. What are the things that make people think, oh crikey, I've got a problem here that needs solving? When someone has a problem that needs to be solved, and it's a serious, significant problem that you might not Google, where else do you go?
Facebook.
Friends. You go to friends. Could be friends on Facebook. You go to friends. Who in this room gets less than 90% of their business from referrals? Who gets less than 90% of their new business through referrals? Just two of you. Maybe three. It was quite a bold statement, that, wasn't it? Less than 90%. So what we're saying that is we're only getting 10% of our business, or less, maybe a bit more, from other sources. So the culture of buying financial services, the culture of buying the financial services at the level that you're offering, is through recommendation and referral. If I just want to save, you know, money on my house insurance, then you go to Money Supermarket or Go Compare or whatever. If you just through that process of buying a mortgage and you think, oh, I could save a couple of quid on the insurance, then you might respond to an advert. But people who are buying at your level normally buy through recommendation. So you've got a huge, I mean, how do you get in there? Read David's document on generating business through referrals. So what does this mean for the website? Okay. By the way, I can flog you a really expensive website if you want, but I don't think it's absolutely necessary. And this is where my feelings have moved with financial services at your level, at the half a million plus investment. That person's not going to Google and look for someone who can invest half a million pounds for me. It just doesn't happen. So, when people ask a friend, who should I use? I've got this situation, and they get a recommendation to go and visit you. What might that person do next?
Look at your
website. Okay. So, what is the purpose of your website now?
Credibility.
Absolutely, totally on the money there. It's credibility. I've just been referred. Does this person stack up? How long do you think it takes to confirm credibility?
10 seconds,
3 seconds.
Yeah, not long.
Depends
what your bounce rate, yeah. You're getting technical. It doesn't take long to confirm credibility. So, you do need to have a pleasant looking website that provides, that answers that, that gives you the credibility. What does that website have to do next? And what is the only purpose of that website now? Now that they're on it, what do you want them to do? Phone! Pick up the phone! Yeah, that has got to be the most wanted objective of your website, is pick up that phone. Why isn't email it, email me and contact me? Why is that not as powerful?
It's more hassle.
It's more hassle, not too much effort. It's delayed.
It's impersonal.
It's impersonal. And we all know something here, and David knows this absolutely for sure, is that everyone in this room is absolutely first class, top notch salesperson. And you have the innate ability to help someone make that decision to have a meeting with you. You're just really good at doing that. So if you can get them on the phone, you can secure a meeting. And when you've secured a meeting, how many people convert less than 60% of the meetings they sit? Okay, so you're really good at converting, aren't you? So if you can get someone to pick up the phone, you'll know you'll get the meeting. When you get the meeting, you'll get the work. So going back, sorry, this is kind of a little bit off-piste here, but the what your website as a financial services professional at the level that you're working at has got to do, it's got to be easily found by someone searching for your company. And then it has to be give you that credibility, the gold star. They need to think, yes, these are the people. And then, very quickly, it needs to invite the visitor to take the action of picking up the phone. So, this helps to frame what we need to do with Google to help people to find you on one level. And on another level, the other thing that the internet will do for you is help you to stay top of mind with your referrers, so that they will know instantly that you are the right person to refer to, whether it's an existing customer or whether it's a professional introducer. So, and this is where you can use social media to stay top of mind and being in front of that person. You know, I said about the list of triggers. Now, there may be opportunity for you to isolate a trigger or two that will help, where you can then perhaps look at doing some work on Google to solve that problem, or possibly other forms of interruption marketing, such as Facebook pay-per-click advertising.
Two great.
Yep. We'll carry on after the break.